Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Republican and a Democrat senators and congresspeople say that they may have reached a deal over the border wall and the funding to avoid a government shutdown on Friday. Nancy Pelosi says she signed off on it, or at least one of the chairman of the Senate House Appropriations Committee, Nita Lowey. Representative Mark Meadows, Republican North Carolina, leader of the conservative House Freedom Caucus, said it fails to address serious threats, and perhaps more importantly, Fox News host Sean Hannity called the shutdown deal a garbage compromise, and if that's the case, maybe something the president was initially for will be maybe backed off on that. David Beer, our guest, immigration policy analyst at the Cato Institute. Good morning, sir.
Thanks for having me on.
A lot of politics involved here. The president wanted $5.7 billion for 215 miles of wall. He's getting $1.375 billion for 55 miles of fencing. Let's talk about the effectiveness of that. Let's talk about the need for that, and also, I guess, the politics of it in terms of can the president be backed down by some of the conservative media people in the country?
Well, he was certainly backed down by them the last go-round, but, you know, this rodeo has already happened once, and I don't think anyone in the White House or this administration is interested in going through the same process of shutting down the government again. You know, polls showed that, you know, most Americans were blaming the president for that, rightly or wrongly, so the administration is doing everything they can to avoid that, and to be frank, I mean, he's getting $1.4 billion for something, which is more than he had yesterday. And I think the feeling within the Senate Republicans, as well as this administration, that's better than nothing. Let's cut a deal. Let's get something out of this. If we shut down the government again, Democrats might come back and say, forget it. You know, we're just not negotiating on this at all anymore.
So the campaign promise of build the wall, a lot of conservative media hosts are holding the president to that. A lot of the president's base are holding him to those three words, build the wall. How does 55 miles of fencing equate to build the wall, especially politically? And then I want to talk about the effectiveness of it as well.
Well, you know, 55 miles is just a tiny fraction of our 2,000-mile border. But you have to remember, of course, that we also already have more than 350 miles of pedestrian fencing. We're talking about those tall fences, 18 to, you know, up to 30 feet tall now. So, you know, it's certainly an expansion of it. It's not much, but I think the feeling is it's better than nothing. I would probably say that it is about nothing. You know, 55 miles of fencing, you know, it's going to redirect some people. They're going to have to cross in a different location than they were crossing before. But, I mean, the idea that this is going to have any effect on illegal immigration overall is just fanciful thinking.
Would the 215 miles have had made a difference?
You know, I think it would have had a bigger difference than what we're seeing, you know, with just 55 miles. But again, you know, that's 10% of the border. You know, if we look at what the president said in the State of the Union, we break it down. He talked about San Diego, and that was really the first place we saw this fencing idea rolled out. And, you know, the evidence there is really clear. You know, you can look at what the Congressional Research Service, which is the you know, the service that does research for Congress, they found that it had no effect on illegal immigration overall, but it did shift people around. So rather than crossing, you know, directly in San Diego, they had to go out a few miles to get around the fence. And they all kept, you know, coming in the 1990s when that fence construction went up. So, you know, I don't think that, you know, the fence is the answer on border security that the president hopes it would be. But I think you need to make other changes to the immigration law if you want to reduce that incentive for people to come illegally.
We'll talk about that when we come back after the break. But when it comes to $1.4 billion, that's not just going to be for 55 miles of fencing, is it?
No. We're talking about some other appropriations for border security as well. So you're talking about increased surveillance as well. And there's other money in there as well for detention and things like that.
$1.4 billion for 55 miles of fence, which really isn't going to make a difference. So it would seem to me it's either all or nothing at all. And even at that, all of it, according to David, wouldn't make that much of a difference when it came to immigration. Text comes in, 55 miles of fence. It's not enough to go from Gulfport to New Orleans. David, when it comes to detainees, let's talk about what this deal potentially calls for, and then we'll move on to, let's forget the politics, let's put it at the top of the page, sensible immigration policy, and then work down instead of the other way and working up. So what does the proposed deal have in terms of detainees, changing numbers, what the Trump administration wanted, what the Democrats wanted, and what they wound up with?
Well, right now, Immigration and Customs Enforcement is detaining a population of 48,000 people every day. So this is a really dramatic increase over what we saw under Obama and the Bush administration. At the end of the Bush administration, it was about 32,000. At the end of the Obama administration, it was 34,000. And now in a couple of years, we've gone up to 48,000. And the Democrats' argument is that, these people who are coming in and applying for asylum are being treated as criminals and being treated as, as if they're a threat to the United States, and they're not. So why are we locking them in jails rather than monitoring them and putting an ankle bracelet on them? That's less costly. So we can reduce this population, not release any criminals, and, save taxpayers some money. That's sort of like what's bringing them to the table, in fact. I mean, there's really nothing in this deal in terms of giving money to the president for a border wall, except for this provision on releasing people from detention. So, I mean, this is really the only thing that provides any reason at all for Democrats to come to the table. I think that's why you came to this sort of bipartisan deal. It would reduce it from 48,000 to 40,000, which is still a lot more than what was happening under Obama, but it's, less than what's happening right now. So that's kind of where the agreement has ultimately fallen.
David, let me ask you this, and I'm not trying to be stupid when I say this, but if I walk down a darkened street in the French Quarter, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I see two people approach me, I don't know if they're a threat, and I don't know if they're a criminal or not. So when it comes to immigrants coming into the country, how can you say that they're not a threat or they're not criminals, even though it's never been documented that they are a threat or criminals? These guys, in my theory or my hypothetical example, could be career criminals that have just never been caught. So do you have to err on the side of, well, I'm going to cross the street or go a different way because I don't know if they're criminals or not, and then follow that same theory when it comes to letting people into the country because you want to treat everybody equally, but you just don't know, so you have to err on the side of caution?
Yeah, I mean, erring on the side of caution in this game is a very expensive proposition. So you're talking about what's going to result in the most benefit for the country for the fewest dollars. And really, the Trump administration on this deal, or, if they take the deal, I suppose, would be saying that they value the money that they're going to get for the 55 miles of border fencing more than they value the detention beds that they're losing. So that's kind of, you know, it's a little unclear to me. They're saying, you know, we, you know, the detention beds are super important, but we actually want this fencing funded even more than we want the beds. So it's a little unclear. The messaging that's coming from, you know, the administration on this is, well, we want everything, but if we had to choose one, we're going with the fence.
It seems pretty obvious.
It's a little strange.
It seems pretty obvious, though, to me. That's just all about fulfilling the campaign promise of build the wall, even though it's more of a fence and it's nowhere near as big as he wanted.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. You're talking about the number one campaign promise, first thing, first speech of this, you know, presidential campaign for the president. He's got to do something. I mean, he can't go into 2020 having absolutely nothing to show for his efforts. So, I mean, obviously Mexico isn't paying for the wall. So got to convince someone in Congress to give him something for this. So at the end of the day, I think being able to stand in front of 55 miles, not that it's going to be continuous, but is better than standing in front of an empty space.
Thank you, David. I'm glad you took the time with us. David Beer, immigration policy analyst at the Cato Institute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.